Uktaha already been said. Twaya by you, Bhumandala, of the planetary system known as Bhumandala. I am Visheshaha, the specific length of the radius. Yavat, as far as Aditya, the sun, Tapati, hits Yatra, wherever, Cha, also, Asau, that, Jyotisham, of the luminaries, Ganaihi, with hordes, Chandrama, the moon, Va, either, Saha, with, Drishyate, is seen. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. King Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandal extends as far as the sun spreads its light. O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Purport. In this verse, it is stated that the planetary system known as Bhumandala extends to the limits of the sunshine. According to modern science, the sunshine reaches Earth from a distance of 93 million miles. If we calculate according to this modern information, 93 million miles can be considered the radius of Bhumandal. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhur Bhuvah Swah. The word Bhur refers to Bhumandal. Tat Savitur Varenyam, the sunshine spreads throughout. Bhumandal, therefore, Tat Savitur Varenyam means the sunshine spreads throughout Bhumandal. Therefore, the sun is worshipable. The stars, which are known as nakshatra, are not different suns, as modern astronomers suppose. From Bhagavad Gita 10:21, we understand that the stars are similar to the moon, nakshatranam aham shashi. Like the moon, the stars reflect the sunshine. Apart from our modern distinguished estimation of where the planetary system are located, we can understand that the sky and its various planets were studied long, long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Shukadeva Goswami explained the location of the planets, and this indicates that the information was known long, long before Shukadeva Goswami related it to Maharaj Parikshit. The location of the various planetary systems was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. Translation was, King Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandal extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurur Militam Pyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. So we previously, from 2 days, was Nityananda Pran first. He gave an introduction to this chapter, chapter 16, a description of Shambhadvip. And just yesterday, we watched a video, very challenging for many of us, on the called the Sacred Universe, which describes, it presents the Vedic point of view, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam view of the cosmology of the universe. And I guess Daita Prabhu will be giving some PowerPoint presentations in that video. So we already have an introduction to the chapter. So I just will mention a few things about the video and how it's connected to this chapter. So in the first chapter of the fifth canto, it describes the glories of Maharaj Priyavrata. And he was such a powerful king that once he took the task of lighting the part of the universe. And do we have any Srimad Bhagavatam first? This is complete fifth canto. I can read the verse. So that's the connection with this chapter. Yes, it's here. Explaining that while so excellently ruling the universe, King Priyavrata once became dissatisfied with the circumvallation of the most powerful sun god, encircling Sumeru Hill on his chariot. The sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light. And when the sun is in the south, the north receives less light. King Priyavrata disliked this situation and therefore decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there was, there is Maharaj Parikshit is asking now Sukadeva Goswami about this Bhumandal. He already informed how King Priyavrata, being so powerful by being empowered by Krishna, he could realize such a wonderful task of doing, not competing with the sun, but doing what the sun wasn't doing. So he did the job of being with a brilliant chariot to illuminate the whole universe. And now Maharaj Parikshit wants to know more about this Bhumandal. Sukadeva Goswami will describe it. And Prabhupada explained here that there is it's a different vision how the Srimad Bhagavatam explains. It's explaining the cosmology with the vision, the modern science explanation. it's not exactly the same. So Prabhupada makes, for example, the point of the stars, which are known as nakshatra, are not different suns, and modern astronomers suppose. So that's one difference, and there are many differences. Prabhupada quotes always Shastra. He explained, quoting Bhagavad Gita, the moon is described as a nakshatram, which means stars. It means that the light of the moon is coming from the sun, is reflecting the light of the sun. So there are like that some different views, opinions. The basis are the Shastras. For Srila Prabhupada, he's accepting the Vedic cosmology, and modern science accept modern scientists, investigation, research, etc. So that's one point of the difference, that we are accepting Shastra and Vedic cosmology, modern cosmology doesn't follow Shastra, especially in the Middle Ages. It was accepting Bible explanations, Christian scriptures. But then after the Renaissance, I don't know the word exactly how to pronounce, the human beings, advanced civilized human beings, and began to wonder about, began to challenge all these old conceptions that religion was imposing to to people, and also creating limits on the scientists, etc. So there was a flourish of intelligent people who start trying to observe the world through a telescope, different instruments. From there, there were coming different speculations about the universe, and from then on, there had been many theories about the universe. They say they have been improving. One way we can understand how they work with theories is I was listening to a lecture from Sankarsana Das Adhikari Maharaj, and he was telling that once he was in some place in Texas in a university or Florida, and he attended a lecture given by a scientist who was was a renowned scientist, so many students came to the lecture. And he presented something about holes in the universe, dark holes, a theory about dark holes. So, and after the lecture, he stayed for questions. So many students ask different kind of questions, but Sankarsan Das Adhikari, he raised his hand and he asks if this was a theory or a fact, what he was explaining. And the scientist told him, actually, I think this is a fact. So other question came, and Sankarsan Prabhu Maharaj again raised his hand. I think I'm trying to remember. He asked this time, what happened if your theory, because he didn't accept as a fact, is being defeated in the future? In other words, what you think that is a fact, it's defeated, means that it's not a fact, and never was a fact. It was just a theory. But this scientist answered, that could be good for the world. That and now he used theory, that my theory would be defeated, because that means progress, that we are progressing. So there lies the difference between Vedic acceptance, accepting the Vedas and be guided by the scriptures, and the difference with modern points of view, which means to progress, to find out. Prabhupada called that Aroha and Avaroha Panta, which means descending knowledge and ascending knowledge. So modern science is trying to find out, and Vedics are stating it's like this. So for a person who is accepting the Vedas, doesn't have to go through a lot of research, but he may try to prove what the Vedas are saying and trying to understand, which means philosophical speculation, which is, according to chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita, is recommended. So we can do a philosophical research and speculation on the Shastras, based on the truth of the Shastras, and trying to find out, like Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So philosophical speculation will be trying to find out how is it that Krishna is the taste of water. And mental speculation will be like, that's ridiculous. How Krishna being the lake of water, that doesn't make sense. So we are not taking the Shastra. So there is a Prabhupada. I have a conversation of Srila Prabhupada in New Delhi, November 28th. I think 97 something. I didn't write down the year. It must be 76. It's a diary of Hari Savri. So in this conversation, Prabhupada is actually it's from a lecture. Hari Savri is explaining what Srila Prabhupada was pointing out. And it's very interesting because Prabhupada will make clear the point of accepting the Vedas, why we're accepting Vedas. So he explained that the knowledge to free oneself from this madness depends upon which authority one accepts. So that's the first consideration. It's not being a fanatic or being a non-fanatic. This is not the question. The question is that we as followers of the Vedas, of our spiritual practitioners, we value human life. We value human life as a tool to free ourselves from material entanglement and go back to Godhead. So on this basis, we accept Vedic knowledge. So Prabhupada said that this madness depends upon which authority one accepts. So modern societies don't value human life as a tool or as an instrument to free oneself from material entanglement. They value sense gratification. Human life as a tool for sense gratification, for material enjoyment. So that gives the hint of both view of the universe. So now I will read Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, one can accept the atheistic views of materialistic scientists, which are based on nothing more than mere speculation. Or one may accept Shastric knowledge, which is practical, authoritative, and accepted by all the great thinkers and saintly persons. Challenging those who accept the views of the scientists, Prabhupada cited an example from Shastra that describes the moon as farther away from Earth than the sun. According to the Bhagavatam, it's some 1,600,000 miles higher than the sun. Scientists say that the sun is 93 millions of miles away from Earth. The same number that we read in the PowerPoint. So scientists say that the Sun is 93 million miles away from Earth, he said, which, if we accept, means that the Moon is almost 95 million miles distant. So, he asked, how could the astronauts have journeyed there in only 4 days? How they could go to the Moon in 4 days? You may say that you have not practically experimented, but what you have experimented, you also hear from others. You believe that they have gone to the Moon planet. You have not gone. You have heard from somebody in the newspaper. That's all. That is your authority. So, if you can believe in the newspaper, then I cannot believe in Shastra? It is a different source of knowledge. But one takes one source, another takes another source. Our source of knowledge is Krishna or Krishna's disciples. This is the source of knowledge, Avaroha Panta, knowledge coming from higher authorities. So Prabhupada gave a concise conclusion, frankly telling his sophisticated and somewhat westernized audience what the real business in life is. You have to accept this process of austerity by which you purify your existence. Then you will get deathless life eternal. This is science. This Bhagavad literature, this Vedic literature is giving you information how you can revive your original eternal life. That is the business of human life, not to become mad like hogs. And that is the business of human life, not to become mad like hogs and dogs and simply work very hard. Where is a stool? And eat and get some strength and then enjoy senses. This is not life. In the human form of life, if we do not purify our existence, if we do not realize God, if we do not understand what is my relationship with God, then we are simply wasting time living like cats and dogs. These things should be stopped. And our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for stopping this rascal civilization and giving you life. Thank you very much. That's Srila Prabhupada. So there are two different wave of acquiring knowledge, especially in this context on Vedic, on cosmology. And Prabhupada is making the point of accepting Vedas, because Vedas will free us from material life. But if we accept other points of view, that we also have to change our values, because the view of the Vedas are directed to help the conditioned soul to purify themselves and get free and approach Krishna. But other points of view, which are materialistic, are meant for, according to transcendentalist, is opposing his values. So the result will be another. That result is described in Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the chapter 16 in this way. So this is the result. So they believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger. They secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Following such conclusions, the demoniacs who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. So one, the materialistic vision is trying to exploit the resources of the cosmos, of the earth, basically, in our case. And the Vedic point of view is trying to utilize those resources to both two things, to please Krishna and to free oneself from that resources, from material entanglement. And the result of utilizing everything for Krishna, of being the universe as sacred, being the earth, everything that comes for Krishna is sacred. That vision will fulfill the goal of human life. And the opposite vision of seeing this world as a tool to I write something in English so it's better, you can understand better. Phrase. Consider nature an instrumental to the happiness of our own human species. This is the anthropomorphic view. Everything here is created for our enjoyment and resources. Bhagavad Gita explained that the spiritual soul, the jivas, are karkshati, are struggling with the mind and the senses, because they cannot conquer. We cannot conquer nature. It's so powerful, especially time. Time is so powerful that doesn't give us any chance to achieve anything in life. We can realize that as we grow older. So all the theories, the scientists, they cannot improve the theories because they don't have enough time to perfection their life. And later on in this chapter, that will be explained by Sukadeva Goswami in this way. He said, this material world is a transformation of the material qualities, and no one could possibly explain it perfectly, even in a lifetime as long as that of Brahma. Brahma is the best scientist we can ever conceive. There is no one greater than him. And he is not able to understand this universe. So, because time, his life, although it's millions of years, is too short for understanding. You need to be to receive the knowledge from the one who created this universe. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explained in very simple words that he is providing the whole universe, and he is Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Everything is being under his control. He also said that all the planets are in orbit because of he. So he's providing the whole universe, our bodies, through Paramatma. He said, I enter into each planet, and by my energy, they stayed in orbit. I become the moon and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So Bhagavad Gita gives another vision, a sacred vision of the universe. Modern science gives an unsacred vision of the universe, in which there is not a connection, sambandha, with our creator, with our creator, with God, with Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita gives meaning to this whole creation because it connects the creation with our purpose of life in the sense that it's expanding. It's Krishna itself that is expanding. So the attitude that we have towards our external world is being defined by these two kind of conceptions. If we consider the universe as sacred, then the way we deal with the world should be in a sacred way. Should be according to a certain behaviors and certain vision, which will be divine. And if we disconnect this material world from our source, and we take out everything, all the sacred of the universe, then the universe lack of meaning. The universe becomes what many scientists explain, that it's by random, and there is not really a purpose of life. So everything becomes meaningless. Everything, even like any attempt to improve human life, human condition of life, become disconnected even from that purpose. Everything becomes senseless. Because if we accept that this universe has no meaning and is not sacred, then everything becomes reduced to matter. Like we are also part of this universe and we are a random creation, we can say. Looking to improve our world, etc., like taking care of the environment and taking care of human rights, etc. Everything seems to be nice, but when you try to say what is the point of fighting or struggling for achieving these goals, like a better human life, etc., what is the point? Finally, we are just a lump of matter. So, but Bhagavad Gita is giving meaning to life. Then we know exactly how we should study this universe because there is a connection to God, and then we can understand the intelligence behind it, we can understand the purpose, and we can understand how to take care of our bodies by understanding how it functions, etc., so that we can serve Krishna. So that's my point. There is a sacred universe that you can choose, and there is an unsacred universe that you can choose. And according to what you choose, you have to follow according. You have to live according to what you believe, or you accept. So if you accept a sacred universe, then have a sacred life. And then if you accept a universe disconnected from anything that is divine, then you can have a life that is not divine. Like Bhagavad Gita explained, a conception which is called asura or demonic. And there will be unlimited desires that will pump out, and frustrations and defeat. All attempts will be defeat, mokasha, because the material energy will defeat all your attempts to conquer the unconquerable matter. So is there any questions or comments? Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.